or products, a set of beliefs, but ultimately truth is a person, and that person is God's Son, Jesus. You know, Pilate said, "What is truth?" While he was standing right before truth.
Yeah.
Yep. God gives us free will to face the truth, or we can turn our back from truth. So in the previous chapter, Henry mentioned in his sermon about surrendering ourselves.
Yep.
We all have that potential to harden our hearts like Pharaoh. We shouldn't see Pharaoh's heart as being extreme. In John chapter 3, verse 19, it says, "People love darkness." I mean, where there's hatred, pride, wanting to have control, these are forces that can take us down into battle. And in chapter 9, book of Exodus, Egypt represents the world.
Mm-hmm.
Now this chapter reveals really something, the condition of the human heart. You know, by the end of chapter 9, I believe that Pharaoh is a magician. And the people of Egypt believed in the power of the Hebrew God. That the God of the Hebrews was the God of all.
Yeah.
But Pharaoh's heart remained hard, and he was determined to remain king.
Yeah.
No, Pharaoh did not want to loosen his tight grip. He did not want to give away control, to have something greater than himself who would be his king.
Right.
To be obedient to something more powerful than himself. Mm-hmm. No, Pharaoh was determined to hold on to the Hebrew people, which mm-hmm. was in opposition to God's will. Mm-hmm. This was a classic battle of good versus evil. So let's go ahead, turn to chapter 9 of Exodus, and we read verse 1. Then the Lord said to Moses, "Go to Pharaoh and say to him, 'This is what the Lord, the God of the Hebrews, says: Let my people go, so that they may worship me.'"
Right.
No, we hear "let my people go." It reminds me of the Prince of Egypt. Mm-hmm. But the second half of the sentence never makes it into the soundbite, does it?
Mm-hmm.
So
no.
"That they may worship me."
Amen.
There are 4 points to this lesson. Point number one, we can have our freedom, but without pursuing the truth, we will eventually find our way back into slavery.
Come on.
Being controlled by our earthly masters and our own sin. Now, Matthew chapter 6, verse 33 says, "But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you." In Jeremiah 29:13, it says, "You will seek me and find me when you seek me with all your heart."
Amen.
In Christ, he needs to be pursued. Running away, you might have a chance, though. Because you'll eventually fall on your face and you'll discover, "I need something greater than myself." But indifference, it's hard to work with someone who is indifferent. Now, I was thinking about taking up hunting. You got till like October to talk me out of it. But, hey, I've been watching these YouTube videos on what you need for hunting. And, or, you know, where should you go? How should you dress? And how do you dress it like a deer in the wild in 10 minutes? And the hunters are always whispering into the camera while talking. Checking for what direction the wind is going, looking for the ideal position to take that fatal shot. They're hoping for a complacent deer, their trophy, to walk by. In Revelation chapter 3, verse 15, it says, "I know your deeds, that you are neither cold nor hot. I wish you were either one or the other." So because you are lukewarm, neither hot nor cold, I'm about to spit you out of my mouth. So, but ultimately, you know, we have free will that God gives us. Are we going to arm ourselves? Satan the hunter attacks his battles seriously. The hunted needs to be alert and prepared. So we continue on verse 2. If you refuse to let him go and continue to hold them back, the hand of the Lord will bring a terrible plague on your livestock in the field, on your horses, donkeys, and camels, and on your cattle, sheep, and goats. For the Lord will make a distinction between the livestock of Israel and that of Egypt, so that no animal belonging to the Israelites will die. So God attacked the Egyptians' wealth. If you lose your wealth, you become less dependent or independent. You become vulnerable to the nations around you. Instead of enslaving others, you become a slave. We all, in the end, will give our control over someone if we pursue things of the world. In verse 5. The Lord set a time and said, tomorrow the Lord will do this in the land. And the next day the Lord did it. All the livestock of the Egyptians died, but not one animal belonging to the Israelites died. Pharaoh investigated and found that not even one of the animals of the Israelites had died.
Amen.
Yet his heart was unyielding, and he would not let the people go. Point number 2, time on earth is finite and precious. We can print money, and we've been doing it a lot lately, but we can't print time.
That's true.
God will do things in his own time. So God sets the time for like everything. Even if you've been small as an animal, a plant, a human. In Galatians chapter 4, verse 4, it says, but when the fullness of time had come, God sent forth his son. In Ecclesiastes chapter 3, verse 1, it states, there is a time for every purpose under the sun, under heaven. In Matthew chapter 26, verse 18, and he said, go into the city to a certain man and say to him, the teacher says, my time is at hand. Our time here on earth is a gift from God. Ecclesiastes chapter 3, verse 14. Nothing can be added to it, and nothing can be taken away. Now, I heard an interview recently with a prolific author, very famous author. He said, and they asked him, how do you accomplish so much? And his answer was, I spend at least one day a week not doing anything. The first space station, they went up in the 1970s. The astronauts rebelled because their schedule of doing experiments were very strict. And so one day they rebelled and they took the day off. They had a Sabbath. And being naturally inquisitive, they did experiments that they enjoyed doing themselves. And that day was the most productive day in the space station.
Yeah.
Now, Julie and I work for the same company. I was wondering, did boss, I mean, he's a work fanatic. I'll wake up early in the morning, 3 o'clock in the morning, and he's on the West Coast. And I'll get emails from him in like 2 o'clock there, or 1 o'clock there, very early. And I'm just wondering if he would just take one day off, just to recuperate and focus on God, would that make the company more productive? I just think sometimes Chick-fil-A, I mean, it's profitable now, but I'm just thinking if they open up on Sunday, would they be more profitable? I don't think so.
Right.
So let me ask you this. Wouldn't the world be more productive, kinder, loving, forgiving, and patient if a society took a day just to reflect on the truth? We would become more productive parents, husbands, wives, sons and daughters, friends, neighbors, to each other. Continue on with verse 8. Then the Lord said to Moses and Aaron, take a handful of soot from a furnace and have Moses toss it in the air in the presence of Pharaoh. It will become fine dust over the whole land of Egypt, and fester boils will break out on people and animals throughout the land. So they took soot from the furnace and stood before Pharaoh. Moses tossed it into the air, and festering boils broke down on the people and animals. The magicians could not stand before Moses because of the boils that were on them and on all the Egyptians. But the Lord hardened Pharaoh's heart, and he would not listen to Moses and Aaron, just as the Lord had said to Moses. So, was Pharaoh a participant in his own heart becoming hard? Yes, absolutely. Pharaoh is what I would call a type. I don't know if you ever had a type of a person that just angry at God for not existing. He believed that God existed, but he didn't want to be him to be a part of his life. He did not want to be obedient to him. You know, in Romans chapter 1, verse 21, it says, furthermore, just as they did not think it worthwhile to retain the knowledge of God, so God gave them over to depraved mind so that they do what ought not to be done. I mean, have you ever heard the song, it's hard to be humble? Well, it's true. It's hard to take it from me. Continue on with verse 13 and the plagues. So the Lord said to Moses, get up early in the morning, confront Pharaoh and say to him, this is what the Lord, the God of Israel, the God of the Hebrews says, let my people go so they may worship me. For this time I will send a full force of my plagues against you and against your officials and your people, so that you may know that there is no one like me in all the earth. For by now I could have stretched out my hand and struck you and your people with a plague that would have wiped you off the earth. So God is patient, isn't he? He gives us a chance to repent. He can say, not until tomorrow.
That's right.
In verse 16. But I have raised you up for this very purpose, that I might show you my power and that my name might be proclaimed in all the earth. You still set yourself against my people and will not let them go. Therefore, at this time tomorrow, I will send the worst hailstorm that has ever fallen on Egypt, the day it was founded till now. Give an order now to bring your livestock and everything you have in the field to a place of shelter, because the hail will fall on every person and animal that had not been brought in and still out in the field, and they will die. Verse 20, those officials of Pharaoh who feared the word of the Lord hurried to bring their slaves and their livestock inside. But those who ignored the word of the Lord left their slaves and livestock in the field. So point number 3, do not ignore God's revelations. Is the time near for us? The end of times. I mean, it sure does look like it, doesn't it?
Yep.
All I can say is read your Bible.
Yeah.
2 Thessalonians chapter 2. They perish because they refuse to love the truth and to be saved. For this reason, God sends them a powerful delusion, so they will believe the lie, and so that all will be condemned who have not believed the truth, but have delighted in weaknesses. Are we spending an adequate time in God's Word? So you might ask yourself, what do you mean by adequate? So when I played sports, I knew when I was ready to play the big game.
Wow.
When I was mentally and physically prepared, I knew I had my game face on. I knew when nothing was going to stop me. You know, each one of you know the amount of time you need to spend praying and reading your Bible. You know. So you have your spiritual game face on. If you don't know, I have a scripture here for you. In Ezekiel chapter 3. Then he said to me, son of man, eat what you find. Eat this scroll. Then go speak to the house of Israel. So I opened my mouth, and he gave me that scroll to eat. As he said to me, son of man, feed your belly with this scroll that I am giving you, and fill your stomach with it. I ate it, and it tasted sweet as honey. Now, when it comes to life and death, when it comes to everlasting eternal soul, it's best to overcompensate.
Okay? Yeah.
Verse 22. Then the Lord said to Moses, stretch out your hand toward the sky so the hail will fall on all of Egypt, on people and animals and on everything growing in the field of Egypt. When Moses stretched out his staff towards the sky, the Lord said, thunder and hail and lightning flashed down to the ground. So the Lord rained hail on the land of Egypt. Hail fell and lightning flashed back and forth. It was the worst storm in the land of Egypt since it had become a nation. Throughout Egypt, hail struck everything in the field, both people and animals. It beat down everything growing in the field and stripped every tree. The only place it did not hail was in the land of Goshen, where the Israelites
Amen.
Were. Chapter 8, verse 27. Then Pharaoh summoned Moses and Aaron. This time I have sinned, he said to them. The Lord is the right, and I and my people are in the wrong. Pray to the Lord, for we have had enough thunder and hail. I will let you go. You don't have to stay any longer. Moses replied, when I have gone out of the city, I will spread out my hands in prayer to the Lord. The thunder will stop, and there will be no more hail. So you may know that the earth is the Lord's. But I know that you and your officials still do not fear the Lord God. So point number four, God knows the heart of people.
Right.
Amen.
He knows who is sincere and who is not.
Yep. Yep.
Who will stay committed and who will not. Now, how did Moses know the Pharaoh and his officials did not fear God? On Psalm 103, it says, he made known his ways to Moses, he being God, his deeds, people of Israel. So through Moses, God made his ways known to Pharaoh. But Pharaoh was of the world, and he rejected God. In Proverbs 28, verse 14, blessed is the one who fears the Lord always, but whoever hardens his heart will fall into calamity. So, Egypt is the world, and the world never repents. It might take a time out, like a kid, but the world does not really repent. The world has a worldly sorrow.
The
world is not compatible with God's values and standards. The world is the darkness, and God is the light. Darkness is not compatible with light. So the world is temporary, and we should be prepared and on our guard. I was thinking a good analogy, metaphor of what the world is. It took me about a half a second. I don't know how that happened. It just popped in my mind when I was in my early 20s, when my legs were like pistons. I bicycled from Los Angeles to Eureka, California. You know where Eureka is, right? Just south of Oregon. So it took me about 9 days to get to. And it was along the highway of number one. I went through Big Sur, a lot of hills, mountains. There's times where I was bicycling, pedaling, going downhill. It was a big challenge. And on the way back, I stopped at the bus depots are probably not put in the nicest part of towns, you know. And downtown San Francisco was in the bus depot for about 12 hours. And that's how like the world was. There was a very transient area. And there was people that really upsetted me. And there was people that were mumbling to themselves. There were people that were asking for change all the time. And that's how I think how the world is. It's just like a temporary thing. I couldn't wait for my bus to come by and pick me up and take me away. So we're not alone on this walk, though. He gives us power of the Holy Spirit to do it. In John chapter 14, verse 16, I will ask the Father, and he will give you another helper. And then some version says comforter or counselor, that he may be with you forever.
That's right.
In Romans 12, verse 2, Do not be conformed to this world, mm-hmm. but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, mm-hmm. that by testing you have discerned what is the will of God, mm-hmm. what is good, acceptable, and perfect. So the world has its standards, which is low, and God has his. We're continuing on verse 31. The flax and the barley were destroyed, since the barley had headed and the flax was in bloom. Yeah. The wheat and spelt, however, were not destroyed because they ripened later. Verse 33. Then Moses left Pharaoh and went out of the city. He spread out his hands towards the Lord. The thunder and hail stopped, and the rain no longer poured down on the land. When Pharaoh saw that the rain and hail had thundered, had stopped, he sinned again. He and his officials hardened their hearts. You notice that the officials were following the Pharaoh's lead. Mm-hmm. We need to be careful who we follow.
That's right.
Are they like Christ-like? Do they
yes.
have
upstanding yes.
character? Do they show humility? Mm. Verse 35. So Pharaoh, her heart was hard, and he would not let the Israelites go, just as the Lord had said through Moses. So in closing, you know, our heart, each one of us, our heart is to be protected. Mm-hmm. It is not cared for and nurtured like a plant, the heart will become jaded.
Yep.
Now, Julie and I, we don't buy new furniture, new stuff. Most of our things are used, but we bought these two couches that I love. Because they're new, and they're like white, okay? And I call them my baby couches. And I protect them. And I know that but there will be a time when relatives might come over, a friend might come over, and they'll put a stain in the couch, or maybe I might do it. I'm thinking, like, how do we guard our hearts if there's spills that happen in our lives? So I have this cleaner. It's cleaner that they came to the couch. So I kind of use it as the metaphor for the word, the people that have in life, prayer, things that happen, spills that happen in life that God can take away.
Amen.
From the clumsiness of life. So I encourage you to be diligent, and above all else, guard your heart, for everything you do flows from it.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.